This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
As you said, my name is Suhaib Webb. I became Muslim actually in 1992. I'm not Bosnian. Everybody asks me if I'm Bosnian for some reason. I'm definitely not Syrian. People ask me if I'm Syrian as well. My wife's Lebanese, but I'm not Syrian, alhamdulillah. And I became Muslim at the age of like 19 and 20, more or less around that time, in Oklahoma. I'm originally from Oklahoma. And I became Muslim through a number of things. Number one, as a young person, my mother my mother's very religious. My father was very religious. My mother didn't like to eat at restaurants. She's like old school, you know, like auntie style, except on Sundays after church. I used to have to wear suits to church, bro, like Shirvani, but the white style. And it was there that I began to learn about theology. And there, like when I was around 8 or 9 years old, after studying about all of the Old Testament prophets, they introduced Jesus, and then like Jesus is God. So I remember saying to them, like, well, the other prophets didn't worship Jesus. So like what will happen to them? They didn't worship Jesus. So very early on, I had like some natural sort of contradictions I found with Christianity. Another problem I had was like in the white church, Jesus looked like Shawn Mendes, you know, in the black church, Jesus looked like Chris Brown. And in the Latino church, you know, he looked like, you know, whoever, man. And so I was just like, man, this is like idolatry, because I had black friends. So I would go to black church, which was a lot more fun. And but like God was black, you know, so that also like made me confused. Right. But for me, even at a young age, the fitra was telling me like this is wathaniya, like this is idolatry. And then I had a Muslim friend that I used to hang out with after school in Oklahoma City. I played basketball for Blake Griffin's father, alhamdulillah. I went to what would be kind of like the Dunbar High School of old DMV area to play basketball, but injured my leg. And then I had this really good friend who was Muslim. And so that was really the first time that I was able to ask questions. Before that, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X because I had an assignment my freshman year in high school. So I was a DJ. So I thought Malcolm X was a cool name because it rhymes like breaking necks, cashing checks, fools I wreck, Malcolm X. So I was like, man, it like rhymes with everything, right? So I had no idea who he was. So I was like, I'm going to get this Malcolm X book and read it, and then became aware of like, you know, like the dangers of America, the lie very much that's told in this country, especially about people, the white supremacy and its history as it played out in this country, and then more importantly, the end. And that's why I encourage every young Muslim, especially as young Muslim men are looking for sort of like masculine kind of direction. My father wasn't there. My father was a guy that's there but not there. You know what I mean? He's in the room, but he doesn't talk to you. So sometimes we look for masculinity in areas that are unhealthy, but as a Sunni community in particular, our model for masculinity within broader America is Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz. So like, you should read his autobiography, and it will really touch you in ways, especially as a man. I know at that time I was looking for like a role model, so to speak. And he was just so brazen and unapologetic. I was like, this guy's amazing, you know? We're the devils, but this guy's awesome, you know? And it also challenged me as a young white American to wrestle with some of the demons and exercise some of the demons that we're not taught about, that we don't know about. And then I went to an inner city high school, and I had people on my basketball team who were on food stamps. I had people on my basketball team who had to borrow money from me to eat. And so experiencing that duality, along with Malcolm, and then meeting my friend who was Muslim, I really walked into that situation ready to talk about Islam. And I'm going to be honest, we smoked weed together after high school. He was Muslim, right? Quotations. And it was in those moments that like I had real conversation with him. And so he was finally, he told me like, man, you just need to like read the Quran, man. Like you just need to read the Quran, bro. So I went to the library, I got a copy of the Quran, and I was actually producing music for someone who was very much into the Nation of Islam. And, you know, he was telling me, you're the devil, you got blue pupils, like the sun's going to eat your head out, you know, just like all kind of crazy. And I was like, man, I'm going, you know, we're in trouble. He's like, that's why you sunburn, you know, so on, you need vitamin D. And But then he wanted me to DJ for him, which like was ironic, right? It's kind of strange. So I finally went to the library, got a copy of the old Yusuf Ali Quran that was printed backwards. I don't know if anyone has ever seen that one. It's like the old one. It's like this big. And I remember I was young, like 15, 16 years old. And I started reading it, but it was backwards and I couldn't understand anything. So I thought, yeah, I guess we are the devil. Like, can't understand the Quran, you know? Then I figured out it was printed the wrong way. And I started to read it. And then really, it was that period of like 3 years of just reading the Quran. And I used to hide the Quran in the restroom, sorry, because my mother would make me like lahman mashwiyan, you know, like my life would have been over, man. She found the, you know, Muhammad's Bible in the house. And then towards my senior year and my freshman year in college, thank you so much, I actually met a Muslim for the first time. I was involved in a drive-by shooting. So, you know, when you go to jail, you become a wali of Allah, you know. Like, that's where you make real dua, you know. And I was a blood in a Crip ward. So I had on red shoes, red shirt, and everyone was wearing blue. And they're like, that white boy's a blood. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not. I just like red, you know. Simply Red, it's my favorite artist. And I thought I was going to get rolled up on. And then I started making dua, like, if you're Buddhist, guide me to Buddhist. If you're, you know, Yahweh, guide me to be a Yahud. If you're this, guide me to this. And then finally I said, like, if you're Allah, like, take me to al-Islam. Then I got out. Alhamdulillah. I was a minor, so they couldn't keep me. Long story. Don't worry, mothers. I've been fixed. And the first thing that happened, I was like, I have to go back to that Muslim man that I met. He had a turban and a beard. He was from Brooklyn. Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Basir, he's died. He died in COVID. May Allah accept him as a shaheed. And so, like, I felt like I have to go to this guy, man. Again, the need for a male role model as well. So I went to him. I used to sell mixtapes in the swap meet. I don't know if you have swap meets in Virginia. I know in D.C. you do, like Iverson Mall. And at that time, he gave me some pamphlets. The first pamphlet I ever was given was the Ikhna pamphlet, Islam at a Glance. And so I took that home. I had the Quran, but I didn't understand the Quran, right? Like, you need some tools to sort of understand it. I read Islam at a Glance, and then I got a book, a small book of Ahmad Didat, and that was it. It was a wrap. And I thought I was Muslim. I had a girlfriend. This is crazy. And I wouldn't eat pork. We used to say no pork on my fork, strictly fish on my dish. And then she was like, why don't you eat pork? I was like, because I'm Muslim. This is crazy, bro. Allah will send you signs. And she said to me, there's no way you can be Muslim. So I thought it's because I was white. And she was like, no, you don't live right. Like, imagine a non-Muslim, man. She's like, you live foul, bro. Like, you live foul. I'm like, I mean, hello, right? We're kind of like engaged in foulness, right? And then I was like, what do you mean? She's like, my uncle's Muslim. It's not just not eating pork. You got to stop smoking weed. You shouldn't have a girlfriend. There's no tribe before you buy it in Islam. She started giving me like a khutbah. You know, I wish I had it recorded. It's like, amma ba'd, you know, fa'inna al-fusaqa, you know, like she started going hard, man. But what she said made me think like, oh, I'm like a hypocrite. Because one thing I want to tell you, at least from my perspective as a non-Muslim, is we think Muslims, at that time, we thought Muslims were uber committed. Like, there was this guy named Salim Salim. We couldn't say his name, so we called him Salim Salim in my high school. And he had a sister. And they were like, don't talk to his sister, man. Her dad will come and kill you, boy. Like, we had this image that Muslims are very committed to their faith. We actually respected it. So she gave me this maw'idha, you know? And that made me realize, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm a hypocrite. So then I went back and talked to that man. And then, alhamdulillah, I became Muslim, you know, at a young age. After I became Muslim, I finished a degree in education, which means a life of poverty, alhamdulillah, especially now with the new administration. And then I had a teacher from West Africa named Sheikh Ahmed Diaye, who I studied with for 10 years. Nengadev, Mangfarek, Gawo, I speak Wolof, alhamdulillah, like this much, which is the language of Senegal. And I memorized the Quran with him. And so I studied the major, small, like major motun, we say motun, small text with him I had to memorize. And then I went to Egypt in Al-Azhar, and I lived there for 7 years. I went to high school again in Egypt. I had to take Shahada again in Egypt. Funny story. I went to the university to get my papers, and they're like, William Webb, like, fi'lan fa'il. They're like, who's William? I was like, I'm actually Suhaib. He's like, La maktub hina e. William. Bilam al mad web. Shnus m'ida. So I was like, yeah, you know, I came from Obamistan to study here. And he's like, no, but you're not Muslim. I was like, look at me, man. He's like, no. I was like, I memorized the Quran. He's like, no. Manfash. Da William la yumkin. So I had to become Muslim again. You know, at the Mashaykha, I took Shahada. I said, Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadani li dinihi maratain. You know, I got to take Shahada twice, Alhamdulillah. So I became Muslim. And then, Alhamdulillah, I came back and served. I worked at Dar Ifta. I was there during the original, real, organic revolution. I was on the ground. One of my teachers was killed. Then I came back and I continued my studies after Sharia in the Qira'at. With Shatabiyya, which alhamdulillah, I was able to study and still doing exams now on that. And now I'm here. I live locally. My wife is from here. I have no choice. Alhamdulillah. Free babysitting. Alhamdulillah. Because her whole family is here. She has 84 cousins. I have 4 because I'm white. Total cousins. Alhamdulillah. And so I'm happy to be here. But I thought it's important you know something about me. You know, if we're going to teach and learn together, we should know each other. I have 4 kids. I have a 23-year-old, 21-year-old. 5-year-old and 2-year-old. It's insane, mashallah. If I had a mixtape, it would be called Diplomas and Diapers. By I Am Broke, alhamdulillah. And I was in Boston for a number of years, 3 years, alhamdulillah. And then in NYU, I taught for 6 years at NYU and worked with Imam Khalid. And then came back here because, again, my whole extended family is in the area. But I've been like on the DL, just chilling with my girls. Being a dad girl is like the best thing, alhamdulillah. So what I was asked to talk about, are there any questions you have for me at a personal level before I get started? Yes, sir.
How did you...
Sure.
Which madhab, like, did you feel like was the most appropriate, and how did you decide that?
So in the era that I became Muslim in the 90s, you didn't have, like, we're Generation X, which means we had no choice, you know? So I didn't choose a madhab. The resources that were around me were Maliki. My teacher was from West Africa. But then later on in Egypt, we were trained in 5 madhabs. Like when I give answers, I don't give answers to just with the Maliki madhab because that would be very hard for people. Like, so I study also Hanafi fiqh with the Mufti from Darul Ulum Karachi, if you're familiar with that, with Mufti Taqi Uthmani. But my personal, like my personal practice is in the Maliki school. Any other questions before we get started with the topic? Was it okay that I did this introduction? I just want to get feedback. Like, I think it's important you know somebody if you're going to spend time with them, right? And you can appreciate a little bit more about where they're coming from as well. Alhamdulillah.